Hello, and welcome to the Pharma Think Pod. We're ThinkGen. We provide customized marketing research and brand strategy solutions for healthcare companies. We're known for delivering insights that generate results. How? We know the science behind the research, we ask the right questions, and we find and report the relevant insights. In this podcast, we highlight what our clients are thinking about and our thoughts on their thoughts. We know how important it is to focus on what's important, and what's important right now is habits. So let's dive in. Hi, everyone. Really excited to share that we have Jamie Haddock on the Think Pod with us today. Hi, Jamie.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
We were just together in San Francisco last week at the Pharma Market Research Conference Bay Area Edition. And what a wonderful meeting. It was terrific to see you in your own sort of backyard.
Yeah, I love the opportunity to stay local. I feel like I have a good network here, and it's good to see people in person.
Yeah, it was amazing to see so many people in person who, and even from the East Coast, there were a number of people from the East Coast who made the trip out west. And I really want to thank you. You know, it was maybe, I think, a couple of months ago when you offered so kindly to be my co-presenter for our presentation at the PMRC Bay Area meeting on how your brand plan is missing, your brand plan being other of our colleagues who work in pharmaceutical market research and marketing, how their brand plans are missing a behavioral pillar, some of our habit lens insights. And so for today's Think Pod, we thought our listeners would really love an opportunity to hear that presentation, especially if they weren't able to be part of that meeting. So Jamie, how about if you introduce yourself and tell our listeners a bit about your background?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Jamie Haddock. I am currently the Associate Director of Oncology Market Insights at Myovant Sciences. I've been working for Myovant for over 3 years, primarily supporting oncology from market research, both HCP and consumer side of things, but I also do the competitive intelligence for our oncology side of the organization. Prior to joining Myovant, I was on your side of things. I was in consulting, and I worked at a couple of different market research consulting firms for a number of years. And before that, I started from an academic background, and I have my PhD in cancer biology. And just to say that my opinions and the things we talk about today are a reflection of my own opinions and thoughts, not that of Myovant.
Thank you so much for that disclaimer. And I think one of the things that I really just sort of, you know, resonated with you is you started in an academic sort of research setting. I think of your PhD in cancer biology and just the incredible strides that have been made in that therapeutic area over the past few decades. And I started my career in research and development as well, in polymer research engineering. And so I know both of us have really bonded over a love for the science, as well as just how important it is to bring forward the voice of the customer in the work that we do. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So the premise of our talk is that brand planning is routine. And we have our habit lens, the way that ThinkGen sees the world, sees insights, can really help inspire fresh thinking. This presentation at PMRC Bay Area was one that we provided on June 13th of 2023. And I know there were many people who were in the audience in various stages of the brand planning process. Many of our clients are either finishing up the strategic aspect of their brand plan or finishing up their situation analysis now. And the joke goes that brand planning is the once a year exercise that takes all year to do. And we talked about the fact that in the area of brand planning, the traditional method is to align the customer buying process. So this was the Monitor Group's original framework where we map how patients enter the system all the way from origination through their evaluation and diagnosis, through treatment choice, brand choice, reimbursement and fulfillment, and initiation and persistence on therapy. And one of the cornerstone market research projects that any brand does as part of launch planning, and this is also updated, you know, sometimes annually, is to map how patients flow through that system. And then what we normally do is we identify where there are the greatest areas of, I guess, what we would call slippage, or where there's a huge gap where patients, you know, sort of get lost in the system. And we call those leverage points. And that typically yields the following. We will normally have to do some kind of education around the disease state or treatment category, and that's what we call our unbranded initiatives. Then we need to drive preference and utilization of our products, and those are what we call promotional initiatives. And then we have to support patient initiation of therapy, and those are payer access and patient hub initiatives. I know that I personally have worked on dozens of brand plans across a number of therapeutic areas, primary care, specialty care, rare disease, and it is very, very rare that there would not be a pillar of the brand plan that is dedicated to an unbranded initiative, a promotional initiative, or something that supports payer access and patient hub initiatives. And then Jamie, I think that you made the point then here, things that we've observed in research.
Right. You know, I think we've all spent a lot of time listening to doctors at various points of products development. And you always hear physicians say things like this in research, like the product profile looks great and I will definitely start prescribing this for my patients, or the unmet need is huge. This is better for patients. We'll start prescribing it right away. Or I saw this presented at a conference and I just need a rep to come in and tell me how to prescribe it. And then they say all that, but they don't. They don't immediately start doing what they said they would do. In fact, you know, if you probe a little deeper, which I hope everyone is doing, and you say, okay, is, you know, what about, you know, what could be a barrier here? And then the physicians will say something like, well, we haven't talked about the cost, and that's super important. this force plot shows all the patients benefited, but I'm really impressed how well it did for this, you know, rare group of patients. Or, you know, I just need the right patient to come in. And I think it's, you know, it's a yes, and then a huge, but I need. And what they need is usually, you know, a bigger scale than what, you know, what they're saying, how easy it is to say, oh, we haven't talked about cost, but cost is huge. And so, you know, you as the market research expert, you know, are like, okay, so it's a yes with a big but, and let's not over, you know, let's not overemphasize their enthusiasm. But, you know, your internal team who might be listening in on the interview has only heard the yes and has already started the celebration and has sort of tuned out the bigger.
Jamie, but. I know, you know, we've talked about just how challenging the marketing insights lead role, you know, can be. The PMRC Bay Area meeting had a lot of people who sat in those roles who were part of the audience. And there are a number of roundtable sessions that pointed out that if you're a marketing insights lead, you need to do, there's three things that you need to do really well. You need to be a storyteller, right, for the brand, the product in question. You need to be a diplomat, right, because you always have to represent the not only the voice of the customer, but also the truth as it came forward in the
reality.
Yeah, the reality. And that's hard. That's hard. You have to be very diplomatic about it. And you have to be a subject matter expert, not only on the research and cutting edge research methodologies, when to use what methodologies, but also a subject matter expert on the research findings. It's a really, really, really challenging job. And then every year, right, the storytelling, the diplomacy, the subject matter expertise, that comes forward as part of the brand planning process. You have to put together a situation analysis, and that has to inform the brand plan. And so part of what we were offering a couple of weeks ago is that we had recently conducted, as ThinkGen, over 30 studies specifically examining an aspect of behavior that we feel is underappreciated as part of the brand planning process, and that is habit formation, this phenomenon of habit formation and disruption. And what we learned is that brand plans, as we enter the 2024 brand planning season, is missing a pillar. And one of the points that I made from the podium is that I have worked in the industry for over 20 years. The majority of my time has been in a marketing role. I spent 15 years in a marketing role before I came over to ThinkGen. And again, I've worked on dozens of brand plans. And the biggest mistake that I made was acting as if, in the moment of truth, for physicians making a prescribing decision after having a conversation with patients, I, as the head of marketing, would act as if physicians were thoughtfully considering every aspect of that patient's clinical history, taking into consideration what the patient was saying about their goals for therapy and the support that they had in place at home and their goals and aspirations, carefully thinking about all of the options that were available to them, and then tailoring the right medication or choice to the specific needs of that patient. We know that that is not happening. We know that the decision has often already been made. There is a default decision that physicians have made. And oftentimes when the patient comes in, the question is whether that default decision should be ruled out based on something that a patient says. And yet I was designing a brand plan as if the physician was thinking about a decision and carefully making a decision every single time, when that is not happening. And there's an opportunity as we go into the 2024 brand planning season and beyond, for brand plans now to recognize that today, with just the proliferation of options that are available to physicians, there is an opportunity for us to say we need to include a pillar of the brand plan that takes into account the specific drivers and barriers of that default decision making, and that is what we call habit. And we had created a model of habit understanding for the pharma industry. Our habit cycle, ThinkGen's habit cycle, is an evidence-based framework to understand how habits work, because enacting any behavioral change starts with deeply understanding customers' existing habits or the drivers of those default decisions. Our habit cycle deconstructs habitual behavior into six factors to identify ways to initiate, maintain, or disrupt deeply ingrained behaviors. We've talked about these in prior episodes of our ThinkPod. Those six factors are context, cue, behavior belief, feedback, and investment. And I made the point a couple of weeks ago from the podium that many of us in the audience are familiar with the layperson's habit literature. books like Atomic Habits by James Clear, The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. There's a number of books out there about how to build supportive habits for your life goals, you know, how to break bad habits. Those models of layperson habit formation tend to focus on three or four nodes, right? It's usually the trigger or the cue into the behavior or the habit that you want to break or create, and then the feedback loop. But there's special considerations for pharma and for the pharmaceutical product ecology that necessitates a six-node cycle. In addition to the trigger, the behavior, and the feedback, we need to look at context because we know that physicians might practice in different settings. A doctor who practices in a hospital-based setting and then has an office-based setting will have two separate and distinct sets of habits that get triggered when they're in one setting versus another. We've even done research with physicians who practice only in a hospital-based setting, and depending on whether they're on the regular floor or the intensive care unit, they'll even have separate sets of habits. So context is very important. Also in pharma, we have behavior belief. And the reason for that is that unlike other aspects, our digital lives, right? And we think about our phones and why we're always reaching for our phones. We're always reaching for our phones because phones are engineered to be feedback machines. You pick up your phone, you push something, you're going to get something back. In pharma, it's very different. In pharma, we might take an action and it might take a while for that action to result in some kind of positive feedback. Especially when we think about chronic conditions, you take a medication, it can take weeks or months for that medication to make a change in terms of a lab result or help the patient feel better. And in order to bridge between behavior and feedback in the pharmaceutical industry, we have to look at beliefs. There are beliefs that help govern whether that behavior continues until feedback can be obtained, or beliefs that might support negative feedback and could work against your product. And then finally, the third part of the habit cycle that is tailored for the pharmaceutical industry is this idea of investment. And by investment, we do mean financial investment. You know, when physicians make financial investments in their practice, practice economics are a reality of delivering care, and that has to be taken into consideration. But there's also social investment. Just like I think with a lot of professional jobs, some physicians like to stay ahead of their colleagues. Some physicians like to keep up with their colleagues. Some physicians, are reluctant to adopt new therapies. And we need to understand, how that water cooler chatter, or what physicians are saying about products in the context of forums where they're with their peers, that's another really important aspect of habit formation in the pharmaceutical industry. And so across our studies, we found, we really do need to stick with a six-node cycle. We had talked at length as a team about whether we should simplify our cycle to three nodes. But what we found is because of the specific dynamics of the pharmaceutical industry, we need to have a six-node cycle. And so we provided an example to the audience at the PMRC Bay Area about what one key area of our finding is that of the six nodes, the cue is essential to move from the current habit cycle to a new habit cycle. So in over 80% of our habit-focused projects, the habit leverage point to be activated included the cue. And what we advise our clients is that we need to identify the key leverage points that keep customers stuck in their current habit cycle, and then activate the key leverage points to move customers to a new habit cycle. The tool for that today is messaging. And the framework that many of our clients use is the classic AITU, or awareness, interest, trial, and usage aspect. So that model, the AITU model for message development. So we talked about the fact that we need to, through messaging, grab the attention of the customer, capture their interest, compel them to trial, and then ensure that trial facilitates a new habitual usage cycle. Usage is driven by habit, and that means usage is habit. And when you think about usage as habit, then you can start to understand that the essence of the omnichannel marketing strategy is activating a cue for customers, right? So many of our clients have efforts on what is called omnichannel marketing. You know, that means different things to different clients, but in the essence of it is ensuring that, you know, the right message is delivered to the right customer at the right time through the right channel. And the essence of that omnichannel marketing strategy is activating a cue for customers. And so they need to design their messages to hack that cue. And how do we hack that cue? What we have learned is, you know, in our traditional message testing methodologies, it's the output is one set of messages, right, that you repeat over and over again and until it sticks. And what we learned is that you actually need two sets of messages. You need one set of messages to speak to the decision to be made in the minds of physicians. So then when you're grabbing their attention, capturing their interest, compelling them to trial, it's one set of messages that speaks to, you know, bring all of these aspects of your new and very important medication to mind in the mind of your customer. But then you need a second set of messages to ensure that trial facilitates a new habitual usage cycle. You're speaking to a different set of considerations there, because now you're trying to make, you know, your new medication the default decision for the patients who are ideal for that medication. So you need two sets of messages, one set to break the current habit and a second set to establish a new habit. And that's something that we at ThinkGen call dynamic messaging. So Jamie, then I'll turn it back over to you because you have some experience applying the habit lens in market research projects, and you had some really important perspective and advice to share.
Yeah, I think when you actually want to put this into, you know, build out a project for this and really put it into action, it's important to start with a qualitative phase that is a little more exploratory. And you want to keep the discussion pretty open-ended and not rapid-fire questioning. You know, I think the example fake conversation we gave at the beginning of this talk was, you know, we hear the doctor say, yes, I want to use this product. I definitely am going to start using it immediately. And if you don't give it time to breathe, you're not going to hear the, but I need X, Y, and Z information to do so. Also, and this is something, you know, we saw recently, is that you need to recruit a diverse set of doctors, or their habits might be really dependent on their location or their practice setting. You know, someone who might see rural patients might be thinking of doing things very differently because their patients maybe had to drive a long way to get into the office, for example, or the practice setting of a, you know, big academic hospital, you know, facilitates a certain type of habit versus one that's just in a small community office. Also, and you'll want to gain buy-in from your internal clients. I know if I went into a meeting and said, I want a fourth pillar in our three-pillar brand plan without, you know, priming that conversation, I think people would look at me funny. Ultimately, this is a paradigm shift in terms of habits in the layperson sense, as Audrey just talked about. You know, some people might be very familiar with habits from from, you know, more popular media. And that's a little different from habits in the farmer market, as Audrey just explained. And also, and I think this is true of anything you'll ever do, is that your field force is a great internal source of feedback and information, because they're the ones who are out there in the real world and they see how their HCPs behave. And they're on the ground floor and seeing this sorts of things day in and day out. And lastly, you'll want to understand the habits as early as possible. You know, this is something that you may want to start in phase 2 or phase 3 development as part of your gaining understanding of the market overall. And this is important, especially if your product will be particularly unique in a way that is practice altering. So let's say doctors are really used to just writing a prescription, sending it into the specialty pharmacy, and that's it. But you're launching a drug that is administered in office. That's going to, you know, really shake things up more than just, you know, writing one prescription for another, but it's going to have sort of a logistical office-wide impact that will be important to understand.
Thank you for that. So just to wrap, again, our habit lens is, as we enter the 2024 brand planning season, what we hope to be the fourth pillar in our clients' brand plans. And this is really important for so many reasons, but again, just for our listeners, I want to reiterate that Jamie and I started our careers in research and development. And so part of our shared, I think, passion and the reason we believe this is so important is we are very cognizant of the amount of scientific expertise as well as the investment it takes to bring these scientific discoveries from the bench through a very costly regulatory process and to the day when it is FDA approved. And we do not minimize then the importance of that insight's role in helping to translate what we learn in market research, the voice of the customers, into the brand planning process, the strategy, and all of the programs that we have to put in place to help ensure that these innovations can reach the hands of patients who need them most. Like, this is not about making sure our clients hit their number, you know, their commitment to the revenue for the companies that they work for. That's the business. I think, speaking for myself, what often I think just sort of pains me is that I think about where I could have been better, right, when I was a marketing lead role, because the medications I think that I worked on had a role for patients. And because I did not look at the dynamics of default decision-making that governed what happens after the physician has had a conversation with that patient, right? I could have done better. And when I, as a marketing lead, do not do my job well as I can, right? And I think I was pretty good at my job, but I can always do better. When I do not do my job as well as I can, then maybe there was a patient who could have benefited from my product that I represent and didn't get a chance to. And that is why, you know, after 20 plus years in the business, like, the offer that I have to make, you know, for people who feel as passionately as we do is to consider including a pillar in your brand plan that looks specifically at why those default decisions or habits have already been made, and what then you and your team can do, right, to help either sustain or disrupt those habits so that the medications that we work so hard to bring through the regulatory process has a chance to benefit a patient's life. So that is what we as ThinkGen offer, Jamie, I cannot thank you enough for being such a champion for this as well.
If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to listen to part two as our conversation continues. Also, follow us on SoundCloud, Spotify, and check out our website, think-gen.com, to learn more about the Habit Lens.